Welcome to Parenting Matters on Nashville Catholic Radio, WBOU 100.5 FM, sponsored by the Family Life Office of the Diocese of Nashville. Your host for the program is Dr. Parr Donahue. Dr. Parr has years of experience in pediatrics and parenting. He was named the Senior Pediatrician of the Year by the Tennessee Chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics in 2014. Dr. Parr is the author of four books, including books on parenting entitled Messengers in Denim, The Amazing Things Parents Can Learn from Teens, and Tools for Effective Parenting. Visit Dr. Parr's blog at www.parentingwithdrparr.com. Here's your host, Dr. Parr Donahue.
Welcome to Parenting Matters on WBOU-FM, 100.5 on your dial, and streaming throughout the world on WBOU.org. Our subject today is a newly adopted Education Savings Account, ESA. Our guest is Sister Mary Johanna Melody. I'll introduce her in a moment, but first my monologue. It was no secret that some of Nashville's inner city schools are failing, and failing badly. This problem has been studied almost to the point of death, yet nothing seems to have helped. Many blame the budget and insist that more money will solve the problem. I'm sure the lack of money is part of the equation, as teachers all across the United States are underpaid and undervalued for the very important work that they do. Yes, schools need more money. Money is so lacking that teachers need to provide their own supplies. A recent effort called for citizens to adopt a teacher and provide him or her with the things needed to be effective in the classroom. That's good, but it's not going to be enough to keep good teachers in Metro Nashville schools or bail out our kids who are hurting. Metro Nashville schools spend $1,500 more per student per year than Williamson County schools, yet Williamson County schools are well known as tops in the state and in the nation. There are exceptions. Metro Nashville's Hume Fogg Magnet High School has been listed as the top 10 high schools in the country. And Newsweek in 2015 listed the nation's best high schools and noted that 20 of the 500 best schools have more than 50% of their students living in poverty. Even more enlightening was Hollis P. Price Middle College High School in Memphis, Tennessee. This school has the worst poverty rate, 80.9%, but had a 100% graduation rate, 100% of its students were college-bound, and 77.4% were college-ready. The principal said the reason her school was doing so well is that all the students' parents were involved. Now, parents have long been interested in the best education for their kids. That's why the reason so many private schools exist. And because teaching values and morals is so important, Catholic schools were prolific in the middle of the 20th century. Catholic schools also had the advantage of the availability of great teachers at bargain basement prices. Catholic sisters, brothers in peace, priests, basically worked for room and board. But from the 1960s to the turn of the 20th century, schools closed at an incredible rate. Fortunately, with the new century, came young women who increasingly found the religious life to be compelling, leading to an increase in sisters in Catholic schools. Catholic schools are no longer cheap, but they are less expensive than many other private schools. The actual per pupil cost of Catholic schooling in the United States is $5,436 per elementary student and $10,808 for high schoolers. In contrast, the average per cost for elementary and secondary schools in the nation's public schools is $10,000 per student. Our local Catholic schools cost much more. Catholic high school tuition ranges from $13,975 at Pope John Paul II High School to $18,985 at St. Celia's Girls Academy. Grade schools can range from $5,400 at St. Pius Classical Academy to $8,950 at St. Matthew's. Most Catholic schools do offer a discount for multiple kids in the same family. But non-Catholic schools are even costlier. Battleground Academy elementary school tuition is $19,240. High school there is $24,620. Brentwood Academy is $26,980 per student per year. Wow, I don't know how any family can afford these schools, even in today's booming economy. But in the United States, Poverty should never keep kids from learning and from succeeding. And poverty also should be motivational. What can we do? What can be done? Well, what has been done recently was last year, Governor Bill Lee signed into law the Education Savings Account that is slated to take effect in the 21-22 school year. It allows students in kindergarten through 12th grade who attend Metro Nashville or Shelby County schools to use state funds around $7,100 per student per year to attend participating private schools. Many think this can be a solution for at least some of the kids who have no ability to escape the substandard local schools by providing students with a first-class education. In August of last year, Governor Lee announced he wants to implement ESAs, not next year, but starting in September 2021 school year, a year ahead of the original plan. I hope and pray this helps. Now I want to introduce someone who is an authority on education savings accounts, Sister Mary Johanna Melody. Sister is originally from Akron, Ohio, where she grew up in a family of 10 children. She joined the Dominican Sisters of St. Cecilia 26 years ago. Two of her sisters are also religious sisters. She holds a master's degree in theology from the Franciscan University in Steubenville, as well as master's degrees in education, leadership, and teaching of Spanish. She is currently serving in Hispanic ministry for the Dominican Sisters of St. Cecilia and is responsible for training Spanish-speaking catechists in the Diocese of Nashville. She has been working hard to understand and educate herself and others on the new educational savings account. Welcome, sister, to WBOU 100.5 FM and dial and streaming throughout the world at WBOU.org.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Wow, sister, you have such an impressive bio. Can you tell us how you became interested in the ESA?
Well, I've been working with Hispanic families and also some of the Egyptian families and just having been in education, wanting every child to be able to have a Catholic education. Being from a big family of 9 kids, we all were able to go to Catholic school from first grade through 12th grade, and that was a lot of sacrifice on my parents' part trying to make that possible. But back in the days, the schools were cheaper too, and so the parish helped. It was a joint effort of the parish and the family to make that possible. And then when we got to high school, we had to be creative. We always had 3 in Catholic high school at a time, and even back then, it was expensive. So we had a great aunt who never married. She paid for one girl. My dad paid for one girl, and the boys had a paper route. And we had to be creative to be able to get that Catholic education. With the pricing going up, you know, sometimes we're pricing out families, and families that have multiple children, it can seem impossible. And so just for every family to be able to get that Catholic education, and in a special way, I'm interested in the immigrants and the minorities, that they would be able to receive that possibility.
I am so impressed because it's so important. I think there's nothing better than education, and nothing really beats the historic Catholic education that kids get. Sister, the Catholic Church has consistently supported school choice initiatives like Tennessee's new savings account program, affirming parents' rights as the primary educator of their children, arguing that they should have the right to access public funding to enable them to choose the school that best serves their children, regardless of their zip codes. Do you know if the state funds for religious school has stood up to the Freedom to Worship Act in the First Amendment?
Yeah, the funding with some of the school choice programs around the country has been able to go through and is working in different ways in different places. Different places have different kinds of funding. Some have vouchers. Some have where you can donate money from your taxes and get a tax rebate for donating to this. This is called an educational savings account, and it actually has the least amount of strings attached so that the schools can be very free to do their own mission and not have to be worried that the state is going to be intrusive into their religious freedom as a Catholic school. So the difference with the educational savings account is that instead of the state giving money directly to the school, the state will give the money to the parents. They'll set up a savings account, and they'll put the money in that account, and then the parents will pay that money to the school directly and have to turn in receipts to the state to get the next the next batch of money put into their account. So there's accountability there. But because the parents are directly paying the school, it keeps the separation of the church and state more clear so that the school can be doing its mission and not becoming a public school in the process.
Beautiful, beautiful. Did you have anything to do with developing the bill?
No, but Therese Williams, our former superintendent, was working on it for years, and she and I have been talking about it for years. And then our new superintendent, Rebecca Hamill, has been very involved in the process. I've just been studying it very much over the last 8 years, studying the different programs in different states, and then studying this bill very carefully so that I can spread the word about it and help families to know how to apply for it.
Sister, I mentioned in my monologue that Governor wants to start this program in 2020 rather than 2021. How is that going?
So the State Board of Education, the Tennessee Department of Education, they have finished their version of the bill, of the rules for the program. Mm-hmm. The bill was passed last year, mm-hmm. And now the rules have been finished by the Tennessee Department of Education. I believe it has to go still through one more legislative session, and that it has to be signed on the bottom line still. So they're saying it's going to happen and that the application should become available at the end of February and that the grants should be possible starting next summer for the fall. But I'm always a little, you know, I want to wait till that dotted line is firmly signed to make sure this is going to happen. And yet I think we need to go forward right now as if it is all firm, because we can't wait to apply for the program and get ready to be able to use this program.
Oh, that's true, and you need to have time to plan your schools. I mean, schools
right.
can't take 1,000 students or 500 or 50 even at the 1st of September if they haven't been prepared for it.
That's right.
Sister, what constitutes school expenses? Can these funds be used to pay for transportation to and from school? Require textbooks, computers, devices like that?
Yeah, so if the cost of the school... the educational savings account per child would be $7,100 per child. And so if the tuition is less than that, then you can use whatever remains to cover textbooks, uniforms, transportation if it's like a school bus. You can't just use it for like gasoline,
sure.
But you can use it for tutoring. You can use it for after school care. All of the costs that are related to the education, as long as they are approved educational costs, there's a lot of options of ways you can use that money. You can also, and sometimes if you have a larger family, this will be more helpful because there's a discount rate for the second and third mm-hmm. child a lot mm-hmm. in Catholic schools.
Yes.
So that might save you some more money. That money will stay in your account. If you finish grade school and you still have money in the account, it'll roll over to high school. And if you finish high school in a private school and there's money still in the account, it would roll over for university expenses.
Wow, that is a good bill, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wow, it took some getting to get that through.
Yes.
And it's paid for school uniforms then, too, wouldn't it?
Yes, yes.
Sister, I know this bill is really going to help kids in grades 1 through 12. Kindergarten, too?
Kindergarten through 12th grade.
Okay. And it's so important, but as a pediatrician for the past 40 years, I know the most important part of a kid's education is his parents. And how do we reach parents either in their home or get them involved in school, or preferably both?
Mm-hmm.
How do we do that?
Yeah, and you know, the beauty of a Catholic school is that we really see a partnership with the parents. The Catholic Church mm-hmm. teaches that the parents are the primary educators of their children. And the Catechism in paragraph number 2229 says that the parents should be making the choice of where their children go to school in accord with their values, and that the state should support that. And so this is an opportunity for the parents to choose the school that they think is the best fit for their children, and then to partner with that school. And if it's a Catholic school, the Catholic school really wants to partner with the parents to educate not just for test scores, although it seems that the children seem to do better in the Catholic schools on the tests, generally speaking. But wanting to partner with those parents for the whole child, the spiritual life, the emotional life, the physical growth, and especially also the academic growth, but all of that, the spiritual part being just as important, and working with the family to grow in those ways.
Good, wonderful. So then that almost makes my next question not askable, but I'll ask it anyhow. I think because physical education and music sports are so important part of school, it could actually be used to pay for some of those expenses too, couldn't it? If it was left over from tuition.
Yes, if you have some extra money, that you know, there will be some regulations in terms of making sure they're valid expenses, but mm-hmm. yes, there would be possibilities mm-hmm. to use for some of those things.
Well, sister, you've been working with the Hispanic ministry for a long time. Why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the families you've met and the students they have and how this is going, how they're adjusting to this bill and accepting it and all those good things which we
sure.
like to hear.
Yeah, and could I just say one more thing about the
sure.
ESAs first?
Yes.
So
yeah.
the first year of the program, there are supposed to be 5,000 of these available mm-hmm. only for Shelby County and Davidson County, so that's Memphis and Nashville. To get the ESA, you can't earn double the free lunch rate. So for a two-person household, it's about $44,000, three-person household, about $55,000, four-person household, about $66,000, five-person household, $78,000. It goes up mm-hmm. according to the number, and that's parents and children in the household. And then your children this year have to be in a public school. That this would include charter schools, magnet schools, public schools, or they have to be entering kindergarten, or you're just moving to Tennessee. So if the children are already in a private school, you won't be able to use the ESA. But if you're coming into a private school from a public school, or you're entering kindergarten, and that would be each child separately. Mm-hmm. You might have some kids already in private school, but if you've got a new one entering kindergarten, then you can apply for that ESA for the one entering kindergarten. If more than 5,000 apply, then there will be a lottery.
Mm-hmm.
So it may be some months before you know whether you're going to get the ESA. But to get the ESA, you also have to have a seat in a private school.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing to do is to go ahead and visit and apply for a Catholic school now or another private school so that you can also have that seat to go with the scholarship from the state.
Well, why don't you talk a little bit about the process of applying and getting one of these, I wanted to call them scholarships.
Because yeah. So if you wanted to get the educational savings account, there's two processes then that need to happen simultaneously. The first is to find a school
mm-hmm.
that has an open seat, because there's not always open seats in the grades your children are in.
Mm-hmm.
And each school is completely free to follow their own admissions policy. So they do not have to accept any child. They need to find families and children who are ready for their school, who fit their mission, who will do well in their school, and they can follow their same admission policy of the siblings of the current students. And Catholic schools give preference to Catholic students, and then non-Catholics, if there's room, who are very welcome to come to our
mm-hmm.
schools if there's room for them.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to apply for the school because you need a seat in the school to get the ESA. And then about the end of February, you're going to be able to apply for the ESA. And they have a website, tnesa.org, where you can go now and it'll ask you just four questions. You know, do you live in Davidson County? Do your kids currently go to Metro or are they going into kindergarten? How many are in the household? And then check your income level, and then it'll tell you you're eligible or you're not eligible. If you're eligible, you can put your email address, and they'll send you an email when the application's ready. And it's going to be a simple application. You have to show your income level, you have to provide tax documents
mm-hmm.
to show that you're the proper income level. So you have to prove your residency in the county, and then you have to show that you're at the proper income level with your tax documents. So you could do both processes at the same time. Apply for the ESA, apply for the school. Then it may be some months before you know on both sides, is the school going to accept you? So you might want to apply for more than one. Mm-hmm. And then are you going to be able to get the ESA?
Good. I'm very thrilled about the whole thing, sister. Talk to us about some of the people you've met who are going to be profiting by this.
Well, you know, I work with Hispanics, and I've also worked with some of the other immigrants,
mm-hmm.
and they really want a Catholic education because it's Catholic. They want their faith.
Mm-hmm.
They want their children. You know, we did some surveys with the Hispanics. About 80 families filled out some surveys, and you know, there was a question at the end. You know, what are the three most important things about Catholic schools to you? And almost unanimously, they said, we want the values. We want our faith. We want them to live their faith. We want them to serve the church. We want them to serve God. And so these are families who really want their faith, and they want to come to a Catholic school so that their children can grow in their faith. And one of the Egyptian families, the Egyptians, you know, there are martyrs in Egypt today.
Yes.
People who are giving their life, their churches are attacked sometimes. And the Egyptians in their baptism, these are Egyptian Catholics from the Coptic Catholic Rite, which is the Egyptian Catholic Rite. And they have a little cross tattooed on their wrist at their baptism so that if they ever die a martyr, they'll make sure to get buried as a Christian.
Cool.
Or so their daughters won't be married off and said they weren't Christians, so that they know they're Christians. And one of the families, they came from public school and they're already in a Catholic school, and I was helping him with a financial aid application, and I said, "Why is this important to you?" And he said, "I want my children to have their faith." He said, if my children couldn't go to Catholic school, I would rather go back to Egypt and risk them dying as martyrs than have them lose their faith in the public school. So important to these families that they should receive. And we know that a Catholic school has a very good, solid education, often superior, in results to what we've seen in some of the public schools. And yet it also has the faith. And so it's a way that the family can live the faith and grow in their faith through coming to the school. The Hispanics are very excited about it. I spoke at the Spanish Masses last weekend at the Pastoral Center here, where there are 5 Masses a weekend in Spanish, the largest of which has 2,500 people and the smallest has 500.
Wow.
And so we spoke after all the Masses, and the schools had some tables to show who they are. And great interest. The families really wanting to know about it, and many came to a public meeting the state had the other day to learn more about it. And at the end of the meeting, the state asked them, "How many of you are going to sign up for this program?" And every hand went up. We interviewed a couple, and "Why do you want this?" And again, the mother said, "We have 3 children. We want them to have their values, their faith." And the dad said, "We want them to have their Catholic faith." But they also really want a good education. They want their children to be prepared for the future. They want them in a safe environment. They want them with the individualized attention that they're going to receive from the teachers and the staff, all working together to support them to grow as a whole person.
Sister, what kind of changes are the schools going to have to make in order to take these additional students in?
So, not many. I mean, they're going to follow their own admissions policies. They can only take students if they have the seats. They're still going to give first preference to the siblings of the children already there and the, you know, families from their parish. So those seats are going to be limited according to how many seats are still available. The only thing that they have to do for the state, they have to apply with the state. They have to guarantee that the teachers are safe, you know, that they're not criminals, anything like that. And then the children are going to have to take a test. They may end up having to take the same test as the state. We already have our own testing in the schools, but it may be that they're going to have to also take just the ones who are on this scholarship, but they will also have to take the state test so that the state can show that they're making good annual progress in the school. The school has to show that the children are making good progress so that the state can show the money is being well used. If the children were not making good progress, if it wasn't a good school, then they would be taken out of the program. So we'll have to have some testing there for that. Other than that, that's the basic requirement, just that the school work with the state in that way.
That makes a lot of sense. Sister, do you have many English as second language students? And do we have a facility for that?
Yeah, most of the children learn English in preschool. Most of the children, 92% of the Hispanic Catholic children in this country, the Hispanic children in this country were born here, 92%. So they're citizens. They've grown up here. But still in their family, if they speak Spanish, they may not yet have learned English, but they generally learn it in preschool. So there probably won't be a great need for a lot of ESL if they've come earlier. There might be some, and then each school is going to have to see whether they can provide that or not, if they have the resources to have a teacher for that. Some of the schools may be able to offer ESL. Some of the schools may not, and they may have to say, well, you have to learn English first. So it's just going to depend on what each school is able to offer.
Now, a lot of the churches have these preschools, and they obviously are all speaking English.
Yes.
They learn English there, as you say. But will schools sacrifice that program to allow kids to go to this program?
That's a great question. I'm so glad you asked. So if the children are in a Catholic preschool, they can apply for the ESA for kindergarten.
Okay.
So they don't have to be coming from a public pre-K.
Okay.
If they're going into kindergarten, they can be in any preschool, even if that preschool is private or Catholic, and they can still apply for the ESA for kindergarten.
Well, I think we need a compulsory four-year kindergarten. Don't you think so?
Well, I think preschool is a great idea.
Yeah.
And, you know, I definitely recommend it, especially if someone is learning English. I definitely recommend they send them to preschool to learn English before kindergarten.
We lived in Wisconsin, and way back when my kids were in kindergarten, they had a four-year kindergarten and a five-year kindergarten.
Yes.
And those kids just blossomed.
Yes. All of the Catholic schools have a preschool.
Yeah.
So, and some have a 3K, and all have at least a 4K.
Sister, we're about out of time. It went so fast. Thank you so much for sharing your time with us. And thank you to our listeners. Without you, we would not exist. You are listening to Parenting Matters on WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming throughout the world at WBOU.org. Before I sign off, one quick story. Some years ago, a 15-year-old girl brought her 2-month-old baby to see me because he was crying. After reviewing the problem with the mother, I began to examine her crying infant. He settled down when I touched his chest, and when I examined his belly, he was actually comforted. As I examined him, I asked him if it hurt here or over here. His gaze never left mine, and I knew he would be okay. But I noticed Mom was laughing out loud. When I finished the exam, I told her what I thought was wrong, what we could do about it, and then I turned to the baby and said, "Don't worry, little fellow, you'll be all right." With that, Mom burst into laughter. I asked her what was so funny. She looked at me in disbelief. She said, "Babies can't talk." "Well, you're right," I replied, "but they can hear and they can listen. And they learn to talk and listen by listening. You should talk to your baby whenever you are with him. If he isn't sleeping, read to him, starting when he's about 6 months old. If you help him, it will help him to be like reading, to love books, and to cherish learning. He will become a very smart boy and a man of character just by you reading to him." We talked more about baby care and the importance of learning than I told her about Dolly Parton's Imagination Library and how she could get free books for her baby boy. She left smiling, knowing her baby was fine, and she was a little wiser about babies. Dolly Parton's Imagination Library is a book gifting program that mails free books to children monthly from birth to age 5 in participating communities within the United States, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, and the Republic of Ireland. So far, she has delivered over 131 million books to 1.5 million kids. Many cities automatically start the program without you even having to register your child. But if you have a child under 5 who has not received these wonderful books, you can register for it by going to imaginationlibrary.com/USA and sign up for free. You'll be glad you did, and so will your child. Now for your homework. First, think about families you know and ask yourself if any of those kids would be better off in a different school. Talk with them and have them listen to this show anytime, night or day, at parentingmatters.com. If they are interested, have them go to www.tnesa.org to learn more and to apply. And if you know children under 5 who are not getting Dolly's free books, go to imaginationlibrary.com and sign them up. Then go back to Parenting Matters, my website, and tell our audience about your experience. And if there's a topic you would like us to discuss, let us know. We will find an expert to tell us all about it. Thank you for listening, and may God continue to bless you and your families.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Parenting Matters with Dr. Parr Donahue. Parenting Matters is produced and recorded inside the studios at the Catholic Pastoral Center. Thanks again for listening to WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming at WBOU.org.